welcome to some more great Bible preaching from the pulpit of Capital City Baptist Church in the heart of Austin, Texas. Our prayer is that your relationship with Christ is strengthened and that you are blessed by the time you spend in the Word of God with us today.
Matthew chapter number 19. I started to get up when they started to sing. I do get a request to sing every once in a while. They always ask me to sing that song, On a Hill Far Away. Somebody said to me one time, you think God's got a sense of humor? I said, go look in the mirror. Some people think Baptists ought not to laugh, and I tell them I've been there when they wasn't laughing. But I'm glad we can have a good time in the Lord and yet let God speak to our heart. Thank you, Brother Farley, for that wonderful message. Good to see Brother Danny again. Last time I seen him, he had a couple of more hairs. It stood up a little bit higher. Your hair's even getting old. It's laying down flat. Amen. Good to see him, Sister Marcia, again. Good to see all of you. Let's really pray the Lord will bless and have his way and God's will be done. Can I make a statement just before I read the scripture and preach? I'm not arrived at what I'm fixing to say, but I'm working on it. I try to remember every night as I go to the pulpit, or even if I go to church and I'm not preaching, there's absolutely no telling what God wants to do in this meeting tonight. Just as we saw earlier with one seed, what can God do with one life? There's no telling. Most of us are saved, did not go to church the time we were saved, planning on being saved. Most of us who are called in the service of God, if it happened in church, did not go to church that service planning on God calling us and us surrendering. But I'm so glad that God can I use this expression? I'm glad the Holy Ghost can sneak up on you. He doesn't have to have an invitation. He doesn't even have to have recognition to begin with. I'm talking to you, the person who's got on your shoes, if you haven't taken them off. There's no telling what God wants to do in your life tonight. There's no telling who's sitting here tonight that a year from now will look back on this night as the night that God did something above and beyond your life. I just celebrated 51 years of preaching. Never in my mind did I dream God would use me. But He did. You're not here by accident. God's wanting to talk to you. Listen up. Let Him speak. Let's stand together if you will, please. Matthew chapter number 19. I want to begin reading at verse number 27. I'm going to read rather long, but you listen, I'll read fast. Matthew chapter number 19, and verse number 27. The Bible said, Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. Look at the next question. What shall we have therefore? Let me just deal with that one moment, please, before I read on. I don't care how spiritual you may act. There's something in every one of us that cries out every once in a while, what's in this for me? What am I getting out of this? 3.5 years they've been with the Lord. What are we getting out of this? Now don't act so pious. That comes up quite often in our life. Now look at verse number 28. The Bible said, And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Again, let me interrupt the reading. Look at me just a second. I missed it on that verse. I'm not included. I'm not one of the 12. I will not sit upon one of the 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel in the millennium. But look at verse number 29. And everyone. Somehow or another, I feel like I fit in that group. Somewhere. As we would say over in Georgia, that means everybody. Everybody. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder that went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And saith unto them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. They went their way. And he went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand you here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto the stewards, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they were came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed, there's that imagination again, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour. And have made them, thou hast made them equal with us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto the last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do whatsoever I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last, and many be called, but few chosen. Keep your Bible open. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment of prayer. Then the message from the Word of God for this time this evening. Our precious Heavenly Father, again, dear Lord, tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bow before you in prayer. Lord, I do want to say thank you for the joy of salvation. Lord, let me thank you once again. You let me be born in America. You let me hear the gospel. You saved me by your grace. You called me to preach. You put me in the ministry. You've kept me there all of these years. You've given me the joy and victory I have in knowing and serving you. Lord, I lift my hands tonight and confess I owe it all to you. Lord, I know within me that is within my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And I know without the leadership of the Holy Spirit, without the power of God, my efforts are vain. So, Father, I ask you these moments that I shall stand tonight. Would you possess my body, my soul, my spirit, my mind? Lord, use me tonight to deliver the message of God that the Holy Spirit will use and take to somebody's heart. And may this be a life-changing night for a number of people in this place here tonight. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Do keep your Bible open, please, for the message this evening from the Word of God. Every time I read this passage of Scripture, I think about all the questions that it raises. How many times did I read down through that? I want to say, well, what that means? What does that mean? What does that include? Well, I come to this conclusion. I don't have the answer to all those questions. But I believe by the help of the Holy Spirit, I can load your wagon. But what I do know, if you'll let God do it tonight from this passage of the Word of God. I want to take my text tonight from verse number 6, the latter part of the verse, where the Bible said, why stand ye here all the day idle? I'm going to take a subtext from that and just use country language and ask the question, what in the world are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? You might say, well, preacher, I'm waiting for things to get better. They won't. Well, I'm waiting. It won't work out. You see, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Today is the best day of your life to surrender and sell out to God, because you cannot do it yesterday, and tomorrow means another wasted day. Why are you sitting still idle? What are you waiting on? Did you not see in the early presentations, if not you, who? If not here, where? If not now, when? If you will not surrender tonight and in this week of meeting, when do you think you ever will? What are you waiting on? I want to give you four thoughts from the text and I'll be through. The first two I'm really just going to mention for time's sake. And then zero in on number 3 and 4. I want to say, first of all, why sit you here all the day idle when the harvest is so plenteous? Now, if you look at your Bible, I want to point out something. I'm going to deal with it twice, so I want you to see it. In verse number 1, the story begins early in the morning. Look at me just a moment. Here's another one of them. Brother Potter, this is one of my favorite answers, and I'm about just about every time I say it. This is another one of them. I don't know. What time is early in the morning? I want to be mean right there and recognize for some of you it means 11:30. It's been so long since some of you saw a sunrise, you don't even know if it still happens or not. But it gets up early morning. Now, if you let me use Jewish tradition, the Jewish day started at 6 o'clock in the morning. So I'm going to assume that's where we're starting, and please give me liberty to do that tonight. So at 6 o'clock in the morning, this fellow goes out to Walmart, out to the marketplace. And he says, anybody want to work today? The response is, what are you going to pay? Don't get mad at me. Now please, I feel too good to make you mad. But it's like some of them said, we belong to the union. We've got to have a contract signed before we go. What they're saying is, before we do anything, we're going to have to know what's in it for us. What am I going to get out of this? If you let me use my imagination and a little bit of blueism here, I want to say, the Lord said to him, drop a contract. I'll sign it. They drew up a contract and said, we'll work for a penny a day. Those who study words tell us that's the Greek word denarius, which simply means a common wage for the day. So they said, we'll work for common wages. We'll work for a penny a day. We'll work for a flat rate a day. And the Lord signed the contract. The Bible does say they agreed. And so when they agreed what they're going to get, he said to them, go work. And they went. I'm talking about laborers too. This same guy comes back 3 hours later. Same marketplace. Anybody want to work? Some go. 3 more hours, noon, he comes back to the same marketplace. Anybody want to work? I'm sure there's a few hands. I'll go. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he comes back to the same marketplace and again says, anybody want to work? At 5 o'clock in the afternoon, 1 hour before quitting time, he comes back again and says, anybody want to work? I submit to you, there must be a shortage of laborers. When a man has to go to the same spot 5 times in 1 day to try to talk laborers into working, there's got to be a shortage of laborers. Number two, I understand, no, there's a shortage of laborers, but the harvest is plenteous. You can fill in a lot of blanks on that. You say, preacher, what makes you think it was so plenteous? He didn't want it to go to waste. A man that will go to the marketplace 5 times to seek out laborers, he must have something precious and something priceless in that vineyard. Would you just make an application in Christianity today? The laborers are few. How many messages have you heard and ignored? Messages have gone out in this pulpit that encourage you to surrender, sell out, serve God. And you let the master walk away without you surrendering. Is the harvest plenteous? There are more lost people in this town tonight than there was the day this church was constituted. There's a greater need tonight than ever has been. It doesn't matter whether it's across the state, across the sea, or across the street. They're everywhere. And we cannot say, I'm not working, because there's nothing to be done. Can you not feel the urgency of this Lord of the harvest? What would drive a man, preacher, 5 times in 1 day to leave the work and go back and plead with others? Can I say this? Why does the church have to keep having this kind of meetings? And the Holy Ghost showing up and pleading again and again and again with us. Preacher, I'm not being mean, but if we knew what God knew, I wonder how many people said in this service tonight that God has already spoken to once, twice, 3 times, 4 times this week. How many times an altar call's been given and something inside you said, you need to get in that altar? And probably some of you have come to the altar to hide and went back to the pew without surrendering. Why stand you here all the day out when the harvest is so great? Why stand you here all the day out when the labors are so few? Number three. And I want to take a little more time on this. Why stand you here all the day idle when the day is so short? Now, I want you to look at me. You know the context of the scripture. I want you to look at me. It goes out the first time. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. No, wait a minute. It's 9. No, hold it. It's 12. No, it's 3. No, it's 5. It's quitting. Life goes by about that fast. Brother West, I am surely being respectful when I say this, but you're one of the oldest Christians in the building tonight, and you would stand up quickly and testify. It doesn't seem like it was long since God called you. It's not been long since you and your wife were younger. The children, if you have any, were younger. And the thing. But now then can I shed, and I'm close behind him. But we're now reached that category that we're the old preachers. But yesterday, I was with your father-in-law, and you were a young man, Pastor. And now then he's gone to heaven, and you step in that place down there, and you're not a spring chicken anymore. Pastor, your dad filled his pulpit for a number of years. He's gone to heaven, and now you stand. Where as a young boy, you watched your father stand. Time is so short. One of my dreams of my life as a preacher, and I cannot really explain it. I started preaching when I was 18, and I thought shortly after I started preaching, you know, I could preach 50 years and just be 68 years old. And as the years rolled by, I got closer, and I looked forward to it. And last year, while I was here, we were making plans for our anniversary. We just celebrated our 50th anniversary, and I cannot believe it. Now 51's gone by, and this thing that's called time does not stop. As a matter of fact, it doesn't slow down. It speeds up. If you're a teenager tonight, you think you will never become 20. But I'm going to tell you something. Just sneeze a couple of times, and it'll be gone. But if you're preteen, you cannot wait to become a teenager. But I tell you, for you know it. Teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. Before you really realize it, whatever decade of life you're in, you will have moved up a step and up another step. My wife and I have a daughter who's fixing to turn 48 years old. I don't even think I'm that old. I found that it's more fun to have your kids before you was born. So, where does time go? Don't laugh. I don't mean to make you laugh. I don't care if you do laugh. But, you know, you have never been as old as you are tonight. I wake up every morning and realize I'm older than I've ever been. And you say, that's depression. No, I remember I won't ever be this young again, so I better enjoy it. Wherever you're at in life, it will not be very long until you reach the point that you think now a person that age has got to be old. I can remember, man, a 60-year-old man. When I was 58 years old, almost 58, my son and I were talking on the phone, and I was trying to describe to him a preacher that we had preached for when I'd preached for when he was a child, and I was trying to describe him to him. And I said, you know who he is. He's an old man, about 60. My son started laughing. I caught immediately what he was laughing about, because in 2 years, I'd be in that category. Time is short. It will not be long until your son and daughter sits in the position of life you're in right now. And you'll be on up the ladder. If you're here tonight as a dad and mom, you become mama and papa. Or great-grandma and grandpa. If you're here tonight as a teenager, 20 years from now, you'll have a son and daughter about your age. Are you hearing me? Time marches on. Time is so short. Time does not wait. I want to make a kindergarten statement, but I need to make it, and I want you to hear me. Please don't laugh at me. I will never have an opportunity to relive any of my life. My preteens are finished. They're stored in the vault of glory to be brought out for me to face at the judgment seat of Christ. My teenage years, that might surprise you, but my teenage years are gone. I can go back and relive one day. My 20s are gone. My 30s are gone. My 40s are gone. My 50s are gone. And in just a few weeks, my 60s will be gone. And I cannot erase and I cannot relive one segment of my life. That's why it's important you make life count while you're going through it. As a young boy, I played ball. I played basketball. I have a crippled arm as a result of my basketball playing or my failure to know how to handle it or something or other. That'll occur to my grave. But listen, when I played basketball, there was no such thing as a three-pointer. There was no thing really when I started playing, I'll be one plus one. You know what I'm talking about? You got one shot for a foul. If you got it, then you got another. Or you got two fouls. That was all. But listen. They did not have an electronic scoreboard on the wall. Home and visitors and the red letters flash up there. You know what they had? A member from each team sat together at the middle of the sideline in the court. They had a little composition book. They had last names like Blue. And they had four lines, four columns to the right of my name. And whatever you scored in that quarter was listed. If it was no more than a one-point foul, I hated to have a blank. Just one foul shot, I scored. Now, I like more than that. But I'm simply saying, I hated blank quarters. When I played baseball, we did not get to bat every inning, but there's nine innings, and they did the same thing, took a composition book and made nine innings of it, and a lot of times you didn't get to bat, but I hated it, I hated it, I hated it, when by the side of Blue out there, there was an X, which meant I had the opportunity and struck out. One day, and I'm not boasting in myself, I'm boasting in Him. One day, God let me look at the decades of my life as I would look at that baseball score page. Can I brag on Him for just a moment? I was saved when I was 9 years old. You know what the scorekeeper in heaven did? A home run. At 18, as a teenager, I surrendered to preach. You know what happened, my teenage years? I scored again. At 23, when I knew everything, I started my first church. Y'all laugh, but God scored in my 20s. 30s, I started my first radio broadcast and really launched out in meetings. At 40, I went full-time evangelism and I scored in my 30s, I scored in my 40s, I scored in my 50s, I scored in my 60s. And I can shout it tonight. Thank God there's not a decade in my life that is blank in the service of God. I plan to score in my 70s, 80s, 90s, and when I reach 100, I'm going to let you have the ball. Can I ask you a question? Did you make it on heaven's scoreboard, preteen? Did you make it on heaven's scoreboard as a teenager? Are you making it on heaven's scoreboard in your 20s? Are you here tonight in your 30s? Are you scoring? Are you scoring in your 40s here tonight? What about your 50s? 60s. What I'm asking you, are you making the scoreboard where you're at right now? If you're not making it now, when are you going to start? If what God's already done will not prompt you to do something for Him, what's it going to take? I don't know what the judgment seat of Christ is going to be like. But there's an example, I believe, in the Old Testament in the life of Abraham. Abraham, in the beginning of his call from God, chapter 11, then chapter 12, every chapter, preacher, there's something good happens about Abraham until he takes Hagar. Then, if my memory is correct, is it 16 years or 15 years? There's a blank. I would hate to look at my record in heaven and see a scoring in my youth. And then a long blank. I was preaching down in Alabama. It was Friday night. I gave the invitation. I'm not critical when I say this. There was a man there in that service that was a real loud amener. And I like some loud amens. I mean, he just laughed. I'm just identifying. But on Friday night, I preached on seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. And about halfway or so in that message, Pastor, he quieted down. I mean, he got so quiet, I looked over to see if he'd gone to sleep. When I gave the invitation, he bowed right over here about the middle of the altar place of prayer. The altar was literally built into a little higher than that first step is, and they just leaned up. He's on that with both hands beating the altar. And he's crying out, "Oh God! Oh God! Help me, Lord! Forgive me, Lord! Help me!" And others come and go. He goes back to his. Others come and go back to his. He stays. Finally, he got up. I turned the service to the pastor. Pastor got up and made that common statement we often make. Anybody got a word before we go? He just backed up to that front pew. He stepped forward, turned around, and faced the crowd. And here's his story. He said, "When I was 21 years old, God dealt with me about serving Him." I'm not trying to be humorous now, please. He said, "I said, Lord, You know I'm in love with that little woman. I got that house started. Let me get that house built so we'll have a place to live when we marry, and I'll serve You." He paused. Little smile crossed his face. He said, "You know how it is," said, "when you're in love, we couldn't wait. We just went ahead and got married anyway. Moved in, I finished the house. And one day God spoke to me again and reminded me of that previous time." He said, "I said, now Lord, please," I'm repeating him, "Lord, You know that little woman of mine's in the family way. I got to pay that doctor. Let me get that baby here and paid for, and I'll serve You." A little broader smile come across his face, and then he made this statement. He said, "And before we got the first one paid for, the second one was on the way." And then he just kind of interrupted his story. And he said, "Tonight, I'm 71 years old." And I think it hit him, the pastor, myself, and a whole bunch of us, if you're mathematically inclined, 50 years old. 21 when God dealt with him, now 71. But he said, "Tonight, I give God the rest of my life. I am not boasting in Stinney Blue. I was saved when I was 9. I've never been out of church 1 month in my entire 69 years. I went to church 9 months before I was born. I can honestly say, whether you believe it or not, I have never laid down that Bible and said I'm quit preaching. I've never said I'm through with this thing called Christianity and God and serving. No, I've never done that. I told you earlier, there's not a decade in my life that God didn't bear some fruit. But I still have a fear of facing my record at the judgment seat. Can you imagine what it's going to be like to stand there and God pick up your record and you and Him look at it and there be 10 years blank, 50 years blank space?" How are we going to look in the face of Him that loved us and died for us and explain our refusal to go to work in the Lord's vineyard? I want to tell you something. The devil will never try to get you to sign a contract that you're not going to serve God anymore. He won't even try to get you to sign one for 5 years. But one day at a time, one week at a time, from one Sunday to the next, from one mission meeting to the next, He'll do His best to get you to put it off one more year. If you are not sold out and surrendered and serving God tonight, can I ask you again? When are you going to start? The heartbreak of any preacher who's been around long is this. I know people who told me 30 years ago, "Preacher, I'm going to get started." But you know where they're at tonight? At the going to get started gate. I've seen them raise their children outside of church in the will of God. "We're going to get in, preacher. We're going to bring these kids to Sunday school. We're going to serve God." And that lousy, low-down Lucifer, devil, conned them into putting it off a little longer. Time is so short. I know this doesn't sound nice and polite, but I'm going to tell you, if the Lord don't come back soon, every one of us will fill a coffin. I've asked the Lord, preacher, I've asked the Lord, I want to come back for my viewing. I have waited 70 years for somebody to say, "Don't he look good?" They've never said it. But as sure as I die, they'll march by and say, "Man, don't he look good?" And then somebody else will say, "Don't he look natural?" "No, I look dead." I admit for some Baptists, they will look natural because they've been dead while they're living. Somewhere across this country of ours tonight, a pastor's phone will ring. A church member that had good intentions of serving God got bad news today or left this world. What if that were you? When I was 59 years old, I was writing a prayer letter one day, and I typed this down. I looked at it. I was impressed. I backed up with my computer. I blocked it in. I italicized it. And here's what I wrote down. I want to do what I can while I can, so when I cannot, I will not wish I would have when I could have. And preacher, I adopted that as the motto of my life. I don't want to come to the end of this journey and look back with regret. Time is so short. Let me do one more thing. I got to move this last point close. I want you to come with me just a moment. I want you to think of the youngest thing in life you can remember. Back home with mom and dad, for me on the farm. Are you there? How long ago has that been? It's not been long. And the last half goes faster than the first half. Why stand here all of the hour when the labors are so few, when the harvest is so plenteous, when time is so short? Number four, write this down now. Why stand we here all the day idle when the Master is so gracious? I would like, by the help of the Holy Spirit, these next few moments to erase an imagination that has possessed Baptists for years. Can I say this? Maybe it'll get your attention anyway. I want to tell you, as a Christian, I serve the greatest Master on planet Earth. He's the best boss anybody ever had. I am a satisfied customer of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've joined the Pilots Club. I I find no fault in him at all. After being saved 60 years, serving him in the ministry for 51 years, I want to say to you, I am satisfied with Jesus. He's the greatest. He's the best. You say, but preacher, why is he so gracious? Let me give you two thoughts. In this text, not printed, but indicated, he's gracious because he operates on a whosoever will principle. Are you following me? Watch me just a moment. He didn't go to the marketplace and say, hey, Bill, Tom, Sue, can I say it in Georgia language? He stepped back that day and said, anybody want to work? Can I use a Bible term? Whosoever will, let him go to the vineyard. If you don't believe Christ Jesus takes the death for every man, you've been reading books instead of the book. If God had been particularly saved, most of us would never have been born again. Hallelujah. I'm glad he stepped on the balcony of heaven when I was a sinner and preached the gospel message. Whosoever will, let him come. And I came. And he saved me. I don't care who you are, what your past is, what your plans are. He died for you. He loves you. He wants to save you. Whosoever will. But not only he functions in the whosoever will in salvation, he functions on that in service. Now, I know God calls. I'm not minimizing what our preachers have preached. I do believe God. Let me correct that. I do know God calls men to preach. And I do know that God calls families to the mission field. There's more to serving God than just preaching. Going to the mission field. To me, Brother West, to me, one of the worst scenarios I could think of as a preacher would be to have a burden for sinners going to hell and get in the pulpit and preach and wonder if Christ died for that lost man or not. That'd be horrible. The second he has to get up here and preach, that you ought to surrender and wonder if God could use you anywhere in his service. I'm glad that the Lord still steps out on the balcony. Anybody want to work? Anybody want to work? Anybody? In my mind, I like to see them hands going up. Yes, I'll go. Yes, I'll go. He is a gracious master because he operates on the principle of whosoever will. But then number two, he's a gracious master because he operates on the principle of whatsoever is right. Now then, the whole parable falls into view. The parable is an explanation to Simon Peter. I want you to look at me just a moment, and I'll be through. Peter said, Lord, what are we going to get out of this? Jesus said, Peter, don't bind me to a contract. Take it by faith, because I will do whatever is right. Amen? You see, when it's evening time, y'all excuse me a minute, I don't think we're videoing on. Let me get me. When it's evening time, he said to that steward, call the laborers. And he goes down there and he calls the one that come in at 11 o'clock. And by the way, this has nothing to do with being saved when you're an old man and getting the same reward as somebody served God all their life. We're not talking about, we're talking about serving God in obedience to the calling of God. He says to this fellow, sir, I appreciate you working an hour. That penny is a day's wages, but I tell you what, I just appreciate you working that last hour so much. I'm going to give you a penny. I'm going to give you a whole day's wages. You know what he's going to do? He's going to run through town telling everybody, look what he done. Boy, I didn't deserve that. I just worked 1 hour. I don't tell you, I don't care how long you work, how much you've done. When God rewards you, when God does what's right, you'll never think you deserve what you got. Second man. Appreciate you coming in at 3. You worked 3 hours. I earned you a penny too. He's going to do the same thing. Coming at 12. I appreciate you working a half a day. I earned you a penny. He's going to do. I worked half a day, got a full day's wages. Pretty good deal. This little fellow sitting here, he went to work at 9 o'clock and he can't wait to get hold of this penny. Appreciate you working 9 hours. There's your penny. Now, son, you just wound up sitting in the wrong place. This one said, I got to have a contract. You know what he's doing? That man worked 1 hour. He got a penny. I've worked 12 hours. Wonder what he's going to give me. That fellow worked 3 hours. I've worked 4 times as long. What's he going to give me? This fellow, I've worked twice as long as him. What am I going to get out of that? You know what happened when he got down there? Appreciate you working today. There's your penny. You know what he's going to say? But wait a minute, Lord. I've toiled all day. I deserve more than the rest of them. Lord, you're not doing me right. And Jesus said, wait a minute. Look at me, look at me. Is not what I have mine own? Can I not do what I want to with my own money? Is your eye evil because I'm good to these? What's the story? Don't bind God to a contract. Take it by faith. Brother Danny, when you surrender to preach, pastor, same to all of boy, wouldn't it have been so much easier if God had just signed a contract? I'm going to feed you. I'm going to clothe you. I'll provide you a house to live in. I'll provide you a car to drive. You can say amen right there. But wait a minute. Preacher, think of all the things you would have missed if God had said, you and Sister Marcia, just sit down and draw up a contract and I'll sign it. How much would you have left off of it? Sister Blue and I have been married nearly 50 years. I was preaching when I met my wife. I've been preaching 2 years long and we've been married. What if God had said to me, I said to him, Lord, what you going to give us? And God said, draw up a contract. And she and I could have spent a month working on a contract. And we could have gone down the list over and over again. And I say to her, honey, do you think of anything else? No, do you think of anything else? But I won't tell you, I'm about to have a running fit. Probably 95% of God's blessings we would have missed. Because I didn't know how to draw up a contract. So you know what God said? Don't worry about a contract. Trust me. I will do whatsoever is right. And can I tell you, he done when done it again. I lift my hands and say, I have no complaints. I am a satisfied customer of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has done more than right. I do not deserve what I'm enjoying, but thank God he gives it, and I'm enjoying it.
You see, here's one of my burdens. Preacher, I remember when I was on the starting end of this thing, and in my heart, there's these little words. Could he? Would he? You reckon he will? You think he might? But I'm on the other end now. Looking back. And you know what I want to say? He did.
He did. He did. He did. And he still is. And he's going to keep on doing it.
My wife and I live in what I would say is an average house of our day. Nothing fancy. We built it nearly 30 years ago. But it's comfortable. It's paid for. And I'm happy in it. Can I say this? Y'all don't get upset at me. Preacher, I may have one brother. There's 12 of us in the family. I may have one brother that lives in a house of more value than mine. But they told me, you step out and follow God, you'll lose it all. I am bigger than either one of my brothers, and they told me, you go full time and you'll starve. The only meals I've ever missed is when I was dying. I'm bragging except on him. I wear as nice a clothes. I drive as nice an automobile as anybody in my family. And as any of them guys that I work with back on the job in my younger days said, you'll starve. Hey, if he'll do right by me, he'll do right by you. My wife, no children. We were married on a Friday. I was already preaching. Y'all can laugh at this. I didn't have enough sense to know I was supposed to take off my wedding night. I mean, that's how smart I was. But on that wedding night, sir, we hadn't been to a motel. We hadn't touched each other. We went to that Friday night service, and I called my bride, my dear wife. Honey, come to the altar. Brother Farley, we bowed. We was in a cottage prayer meeting. We made an altar out of a coffee table in that living room. And we gave our life to the Lord. Not by contract, but by faith. Sure, there have been burdens. Sure, there have been heartaches. Sure, there have been tears. But I tell you what, me and Mama are singing now, it's worth it all just to be His child. There's been grace for every trial. There's been grace for every mile. I have no regrets. I have no regrets. I have no regrets that I decided a long time ago I'm going to sell out, serve God, and trust God to do whatsoever is right. Amen. Am I special? No more than you are. If He did it for me, He'll do it for you. Sir, let me ask you a question. Is your wife here? That's your wife. I thought probably it was. I want to ask you a question. How long have you been serving God?
43 years.
And don't say it too loud, but has He done right by you?
Hallelujah!
Now come on. Nobody listen to me and you. Tell me what you got to complain about.
Nothing.
Come on. Ma'am, has the Lord done right by you?
Yes, sir.
Now come on.
Yes, sir.
Come on. You're a preacher. Preacher's wife. A lot of burdens. Are you telling me God's done all right with you? You ain't got no complaints. I got a piece of paper up there. If you want to write them down, we'll look them over. Has God done right with y'all? You got any complaints, ma'am? Now, come on. Come, move over so she can tell me her complaints. Get back here. These ladies just a little younger. How long have you been saved, Mama, you know?
35 years.
35. Has the Lord done right with you? Now, come on. You got any complaints?
No, sir.
What about you, young lady?
27 years.
You got any complaints?
Not at all.
Come on now. Come on. Somebody, surely, somebody, come on, come on. Somebody help me. Have you got any complaints? You, ma'am? Oh, I know. Watch it. Just I know. Pastor's wife. You could probably write a book of complaints. Seriously, has the Lord done right by you? I mean, you're satisfied. You wouldn't change. Preacher, has the Lord done right by you? Now, come on. Tell me softly in my ear. I can't hear it, but Sister Marcia, you grew up in a preacher's home. Now I'm married to a pastor for all these years, number of years. Has God been good to you? God done right by you? You got any complaints? Hey, sister. You got any complaints? Now, you've been through a lot. You got any complaints? Are you telling this people that God's done right by you? Are you satisfied with Him? My question is, would somebody tell me, stand up and tell me what you found wrong with my Lord? Is anybody here got any regrets of being saved? Anybody got any regrets of selling out? Anybody got any regrets of serving God? Let me ask one other question. I got to close, preacher. It's drawn out longer than I meant for it to. How many, if you don't want to raise your hand on this and don't, but I want to ask you, how many here spent some years not being a Christian or even saved and not serving God and you regret them in your life? Regret failing the Lord. Many across here tonight. Fellas, are y'all listening to me? Can I say this? Here's some old men and old ladies serve God all their life. Did you hear what they said? God had done right by them. They don't have any complaints. You know what I'm saying to you young fellas? He'll do right by you. One day, one of you boys will sit as pastors. These men are. Some of you boys will be on the mission field. Fellas, if you forget everything I said, young people, teenagers, He will do right by you. I know what you're talking about, preacher, a while ago. It's not always fun on that mission. I know that. But I wonder how many, do we have any teenagers of missionary children, teenagers? Would you stand up? Your teenage son or daughter missionary, God bless you, God bless you. I want to ask you something. It's not always easy. Not always easy. I want to ask you a question. Has God done right by you?
Beyond measure.
You feel like you're cheated because you love Him? Why don't you lift up your hands and tell Him? You boys got any complaints? Mom and Dad could be drunkards. Divorced. You ladies got any complaints? Thank you. You can be seated. Preach, I've drawn it out long enough. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Why would you walk out of this building tonight still saying no to a Lord that everybody in here claims to be satisfied with? I spend half of my life away from my family. I told them this morning, we've got a daughter, 35 years old, has an incurable disease. I was away from home the week she was to be born. She was born late, so I got to be home when she was there. I've been gone about all of her life, half of the time or so. We have a daughter, a son, and then that second daughter. But I want to tell you something. My children would not trade their daddy, their preacher daddy, for anything in the world. And my children would testify, not because I'm bragging on me, satisfied, satisfied, satisfied. I've never had to go get my boy out of jail. Never had to go out at night and hunt my daughters. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Keep you longer than you want to stay. Cost you much more than you want to pay. But I'm telling you, complete surrender will take you farther than you ever dreamed you could go. It'll let you enjoy more than you ever dreamed you could enjoy. And it'll be a blessing both in this life and in the life to come. If not now, are you going to wait till another inning passes and you have a blank spot? Another 10 years goes by. Another 10 years. What are you waiting on? I walked in last night, preacher, right in the middle of this meeting, and I had not been here any time till I sensed the pressure of the meeting was surrender. Somebody needs to surrender. God needs to save somebody. God's dealing with somebody. And you put it off another night, another day. And you put it off. You put it off. Oh, how long you gonna wait? When? 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 Put up the white flag of surrender. Start singing, "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow. I'll go with Him. No contract. I'm going to trust Him to do whatever's right." Let's stand together. I know I preached long. I purposely would not look at my watch because I wanted to finish what God wanted to do tonight. Thank you for coming. Let me beg you, don't just come down here and hide. Do business with God. I wouldn't be surprised if there's not a dozen people in this building tonight that's lost, that need to be saved. I know of no better time for you to come to Christ. No better time for you to junk your religious pride and deal with those doubts and fears, that inner knowing you're not really saved. You may be a mother, you may be a grandmother, you may be a father or grandfather. What better night to sell out?
We certainly hope that you've enjoyed this message today, but more importantly, we hope that the Lord has challenged you in some way to grow in your Christian life. For more information about our church, including directions and times of services, please visit our website at www.capitalcitybaptist.org.